perspective, and growth. This is the Michael Carroll Discipleship Podcast. Have you ever asked yourself what a covenant is? Have you ever read the Old Testament and wondered why it was so crazy and what does it have anything to do with Jesus saving you from your sins? Well, if these are things that you've ever thought about, then episode 2 of our Easter series is just for you. Let's go ahead and dive in. Well, here we are today on episode 2 of our Easter series, and we're talking about the topic of covenant with God and how that ties into the bigger picture of Easter Sunday and its purposes that were accomplished on that day. Moving forward from our last episode, this is what we learned. I'm going to break it down a little bit and talk about the problems that we see God beginning to work out in the Bible. So in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and it was to be united together. They were working in perfect relationship, and they complemented each other. The earth was like a temple for God, and his presence would dwell in this temple. He created man in his own image and gave them the occupation of being his image bearers on this earth. He also delegated authority to them by making his governing rulers and leaders over this earth. They were to fill the earth, subdue it, and to establish his kingdom in its proper order. So here we go. I hope you're ready to learn. Have you ever found yourself in a place in life where you see a problem, but you just can't seem to fix it? I was using the printer in our office the other day, and it was actually a really funny situation, and I would love to tell you about it. And some paper had gotten jammed. Now, the interesting thing is I actually had to teach a class in like 15 minutes, so I was printing out outlines, and I needed it to be done quickly. Well, our printer got jammed, and it's a larger one. It's made to print large amounts of paper at a high speed, so when a paper does get jammed, there's like 10 different locations where other pieces of paper are stopped up as well because it's moving so many pieces at a time. So I have to follow the directions on a screen to go to each location where a paper is jammed so I can pull it out. Now, if I was by myself in the office and I was doing this that day, I probably would have been okay, but people kept walking up to me as I'm going through this process of trying to follow the directions and grabbing the papers. And because they saw this whole printer taken apart, what they thought that meant was I needed their help. Now, that's not what it meant, although the way they interpreted it, they began to come up to the printer and they started closing doors, pulling levers, twisting knobs, and before I knew it, the printer was in a worse off condition than when I started working on it. Now, if they wouldn't have touched anything, I would have been able to go through the directions, I believe at least, and would have gotten all of the paper out. The printer would have ended up working just fine, yet when other people got involved, the printer ended up getting messed up and we had to call a technician to come and fix it. And luckily we had another one I could use, so I was able to teach my class on time. But I think you get the picture of what I'm saying. And this is kind of like the setting we see in Genesis chapter 11. The depravity of man had spiraled downwards. And the break in the connection between heaven and earth had opened the door for darkness to consume the planet. And the people of this world see in this chapter had come together to build a tower that would supposedly reach to the heavens. Verse 4 reads, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves.'" And isn't people funny? Aren't people funny what they think they can accomplish outside of God? Well, I want you to note something that's interesting here, is man was not all the way wrong in their intuition of uniting the world with the heavens. I've heard this message preached a lot of different ways about the Tower of Babel and the depravity of man, and this was definitely prevalent. However, I think there was something intuitive in man that they didn't have it all the way wrong. The problem was, though, that they were wanting to unite it under their own names and not the name of the Lord. So we see in the Bible that God scattered them across the land, and the Bible says he's confused their languages. And now we see introduced to the world nations and people that are now different from each other. Now, God would eventually and ultimately bring these nations back together again. Yet when he did, they would be united under his name and no one else's. As we read in chapter 2 of Philippians, "Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." So we see that God is doing something here, but I want you to make note of Babel and what man was attempting. and what God did to stop them, because all of this would be reversed supernaturally because of what happened on Easter Sunday. But let's hold off on that for now, because we're going to cover more of that in episode 4. But as of now, I want you to see that God has scattered the people into different nations. And he picks right up in the next chapter, setting in place a promise to a man named Abraham. And this promise was that God would make Abraham into a great nation. And through this nation, God was going to bless the rest of the nations of the earth. Now, this is an important thing for you to remember here. This covenant is the revelation of God's faithfulness. God is faithful, and he reveals his faithfulness to us through his promise with Abraham. And if you keep God's faithfulness in mind, if you keep his covenant faithfulness in mind, as you read throughout the entire Bible, especially in the Old Testament, everything is going to click for you. The story really is amazing, because it's in it that we get to see just how good and loving and merciful our God really is. So back to the story. He sends Abraham off to a new land that God would lead him to and would eventually give him sons who would carry this promise of blessing through their family lines. Now, we're going to pull back for a second, because it's important for you to understand what this term blessing really refers to. Oftentimes, when we hear the word blessing, we think of money, we think of prosperity, we may think of favor from God. And all this, of course, is a part of this covenant blessing that we're hearing about between God and Abraham. However, to look at blessing in just this way is to be narrow-sighted and to not see the bigger picture. Let's remember, God created this earth for his purposes, and man was given the occupation of making sure his purposes, his role, his authority was established upon this earth. And in order to do this, heaven and earth must become united together again. And that meant what broke up that connection, whatever broke up the connection between heaven and earth, that had to be dealt with. And that, we know, of course, is sin, which would ultimately produce death. And this is why you look around the world today, you see so much chaos, you see confusion, you see anger today. Death brings about emotions that humans were never designed to experience. When you see a human grieving the death of a person, you almost naturally can perceive that something is really off. One might say, it's not supposed to be this way. And for whoever would make that statement, I would reply, you're absolutely right. It's not supposed to be this way. And that is exactly why God intends to destroy sin and death. That's the true enemy of God. And bring heaven back into alignment with earth and restore man back to their original position, their original occupation. So when man is fulfilling their God-given occupation and heaven and earth are united, working together in perfect sync, then all of creation is good. It's in order, as we read about in Genesis chapter 1. We also read in Genesis 1 that God is the life giver, and as the life giver, he cannot coexist with death. Sin and death must not exist in order for God's creation to work out the way it was designed. So here we see a clearly described enemy being defined in this problem, and that's sin. And that's sin producing death ultimately. If you were to read the Bible in random parts, you may think to yourself, well, these humans who are so evil and corrupt, they're the true enemies of God. But if you pull yourself up above the Bible as a whole, you'll clearly see that throughout human history, the common enemy that continues to poke its head above the ground and cause chaos in God's good creation is sin. And this is what produces death in this world. It's sin. So ultimately, sin has to be dealt with. So this covenant promise that God made with Abraham, it brings about a blessing to the world, but it also brings about a promise to the world. And this is the promise that began, we talked about in episode 1, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that God would destroy sin and death, and he would bring about a seed that would conquer all of this, and he would finish what he started. He will settle everything out, and he would restore humanity back to the right state of existence. So moving on back to the story, Abraham, he has a son named Isaac, and Isaac has a son named Jacob, and Jacob would eventually be given the name Israel, and it was Israel's 12 sons who would eventually become the 12 tribes of Israel. And some of the most dramatic and suspenseful history found in the Bible is found right here in the book of Genesis. And as we see the families of Abraham and his sons expanding and growing and going through different circumstances and situations, and we tend to think that because God made a covenant with man, we're looking for these holy and godly people that God is going to use to bless the nations with. And we will learn quickly as we go through the Old Testament that this was definitely not the case, that God worked with who he had. And there are many lessons that we can learn from this history of God using imperfect man. However, this podcast is focused on Easter Sunday and the resurrection. So what's most important about the history of Israel, I want to zero in on that, was a blessing that came from Jacob to his son Judah just before Jacob was about to pass away. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 8 through 10, the Bible says, Judah, this is Jacob speaking to him, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. All of your relatives will bow before you. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. That term, the one whom all nations will honor, I want you to remember that. This is a prophecy. This is a declaration to Judah, okay? Right before Jacob passes away, Jacob tells his son Judah that it was going to be through his lineage that the man who fulfills this great covenant that God made with his grandfather Abraham was going to be born. It is at this point in the Bible that after we get this prophetic declaration that God has repeated, we're given some important details and things to look forward as we go through the Old Testament, but the story begins to shift. But I want you to kind of focus on something. All throughout Genesis, God is reminding his chosen people, which is Israel, about the promises made to them and the faithfulness that he has towards them and their covenant. Well, why does God need to remind us? Why is God constantly reminding his people? Surely they would remember, surely they would understand and recognize if God spoke something to them that is going to come true. But how often does God need to remind you? Or should I say, how many times in life do you find yourself drifting away from where you once were? You set out in life to do the right thing. You want to honor God with your life, but something eventually gets in the way. You become distracted with all the wrong things, all the wrong people, and pretty soon, before you know it, you don't even recognize where you are. And this is much like the story of Israel. They are God's people. They carry God's promise, and they too, like Adam, have been given an occupation to be a light to the nations of the world, because it was through them that God was going to set everything back in order and restore his good creation. But even with all of these blessings God has poured out on them, they just couldn't seem to get it together. I mean, God was indeed working with an imperfect people. Have you ever felt like that in your life? Well, you're in good grounds. You're in a good story, because God is a master at taking imperfect people and creating perfection and an amazing, beautiful plan that he accomplishes. Was he caught off guard with Israel not being perfect? Of course he wasn't. In fact, all of that was part of his greater plan of ultimately condemning sin and death once and for all. That's why we see through the law that he would eventually give through Moses, that the law aroused sin and actually caused sin to come to the surface, because ultimately through the Messiah, Jesus, that sin and it would be condemned in his flesh once and for all. So we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but I want you to see that God's plans are never stopped or hindered by man's imperfection. So if you're going through a hard time right now, if you're going through something and you're not really able to concentrate, you don't really see how it's going to work out, trust God. He has your life in his hands. He is able to work everything out according to those who love him. He works everything out for his purposes, and his purposes and plans for you, like it's spoken in Jeremiah 29:11, are good plans. They're plans for prosperity and for a great future and hope. So he has your life in his hands. Trust him. Although it may not seem like it, he is working everything out. Well, why am I saying all of this? Because it's important for you to understand something. Just because God made a covenant with man doesn't mean that it's depending upon the faithfulness of man for it to be fulfilled. It was 100% completely dependent upon the faithfulness of God. I want you to see something that's in Genesis chapter 15. In the ancient culture, of Old Testament times, there was a practice known as cutting a covenant. Now, what would happen was two parties would sacrifice animals, they would lay them out in halves on the ground, and they would each walk through the middle, signifying that if either of them failed to keep any of their agreement, they deserved the same fate as the animals that were dead laying on the ground. I know this is very gruesome, but we have to understand this is a different culture, okay? But this is what it was known as cutting a covenant. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 9 through 17, we see God and Abraham cutting a covenant. The Lord told him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Verse 10. So Abram presented all of these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abraham chased them away. That's a funny picture to imagine. But as the sun was going down, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth." Verse 15, "As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After 4 generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." Verse 17, "And after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses." Now, we need to stop because so much just happened right here, but I want you to focus on two things as we wrap up today's episode. Number one, Abraham is told that his descendants would be in slavery for 400 years, but will eventually be set free and would accumulate great wealth. Number two, in covenant agreements like this, both parties were supposed to walk down the middle, but God didn't allow Abraham to, only God did. Why did God do that? Because God was accepting responsibility for setting his own creation back in order. It was not up to the ones he created, it was up to him. And this is where we begin to see God's covenant faithfulness. If anyone was up to the challenge of defeating sin and death and restoring heaven and earth back together for good, it was God. Now, what about your life? Who's in charge of your life? Whose faithfulness are you depending upon? Is it another person, or is it the giver of life, the promise keeper, the maker of our covenant, the one who makes all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes? We can learn something from the life of Abraham and his relationship with God. Yes, we always hear, many of us hear about the great faith of Abraham, and it was good. It's true. He did possess a great faith to fully trust in God, but let's pull ourselves up over the Bible as a whole, and let's look at scripture as a whole. What we are really seeing in the life of Abraham is a faithful and loving God in action who is setting out to finish what he started. There was disorder in his good and perfect world, and he intends to fix that. And it is through this covenant he makes with the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we see God's faithfulness in full effect. Now, as for the prophecy about God's people being in slavery for 400 years and how that adds to the story of Easter Sunday, well, you're just going to have to wait for the next episode to hear more of that. But for now, I want you to leave you with this little portion from Psalm 9. "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in the times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." We have a God who is faithful. We've been rescued by a God who loves us and has gone to so many measures throughout history to prove this to his people over and over again. So as we approach Easter Sunday, let us prepare our minds to truly worship him, not just with an open heart, but with a trusting heart, a grateful heart, a heart that is filled with awe and wonder at just how beautiful of a story Resurrection Sunday truly is.
Thank you for tuning in to the Michael Carroll Discipleship Podcast. Make sure to share this episode with your friends and also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at MCarrollNow. Have a great day. Until next time.